I remember in the military, we used to do what was called a pass and review. And at the end of December, the commander would come through. They'd go through the barracks. They would say all the things that were wrong throughout the year and see if we had fixed those things. And through the motor pool, all of our vehicles. And they would look to see if we were doing what we were supposed to do throughout the year. And they would do a pass and review. And so I'd like to do something like that this morning. So if you just give me a couple hours, I'll get you out of here. But I've got some things for us to remember. I've got some things for us to forget. And then, of course, tomorrow we need to start looking forward to some things. And so let's just get right into it. We talk about things to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 says this. Take care, lest you forget the Lord. I think sometimes when we go through life and things happen and we have celebrations and vacations and things and this, I think sometimes we begin to forget the Lord over time. And so God says that if you don't make a conscious effort to remember him, you might forget him. Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 18 that Jesus, who created all things, he wants to have preeminence. He wants to have first place in your life. And so sometimes other things take first place. So the first thing I want you to remember this time is the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. But what about the Lord? What are we supposed to remember about the Lord? Well, Psalm chapter 143, verse 5, the psalmist says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. And so Isaiah 46, verse 9, he says this, remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. So God has done so many things in the past. He is continually doing things now, and we need to remember those things. What did God do? Well, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, for by him, God created all things that are in heaven, that are on earth, things that are visible, things that are invisible, whether they're thrones, whether they're dominions, whether they're principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in God, in Christ, he holds everything together. All the natural known laws in the universe, God holds them together. The laws of thermodynamics, the laws of gravity, everything God is holding together to make sure that nothing is as it shouldn't be. And so we should always remember that God is the creator. He created everything, and it was all for his glory, lest we forget. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. We should always remember that. Does creation get a little normal for you? I mean, you go to a beautiful waterfall or flowers in the spring, and I love looking at our Christmas decorations. Man, they look so wonderful. I want to leave them up all year long. Amen? Because they're so beautiful. But would you get used to them, and then they would lose their luster over time? And we got to get that freshness back. In Joshua chapter 4, God told Joshua, build these stones here. Put these stones here as a remembrance. And then when all the children say, hey, what are those stones built there for? Then you can tell them all the things that the Lord has done. And I think we forget to do that over time. We forget to do all the stuff God has done from the beginning of creation up until now, even in our own personal lives. And I think we forget it's vitally important for us to tell the next generation about everything that God has done. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7 says, the memory of the righteous is a blessing. And Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7 says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he'll show you. Ask the elders, and they will tell you. You know, remembering the older generations, they've got so much experience, and they've got so much work, and they have so many things that they have done through their life and seen God work that they could pass on to other generations. I think the older generations we have here today have probably forgotten more than we'll ever know. Amen? And we need those people to remember, to pass that on. So many people know how to do so many things, and we need those people to pour their lives into younger generations so they can know how to do things, so they can begin to trust the Lord in all that they do. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus." We need to remember Jesus' words. We need to remember, as 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, we need to be growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus. And in order to do that, you got to know what Jesus says. I think some people get their Bible and, yeah, I got some of the Gospels here. I got some writings in red. Those are the words of Jesus. But I think we forget this entire thing from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God. Amen? It all should be in red. But don't forget the words of the Lord. You've got to know the word of the Lord before you forget it. And this is the thing that Jesus said to his disciples. And they mulled these things over, and eventually they got it. In John chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "Therefore, when he had risen from the dead," he had poured his life 3.5+ years into his disciples. But it wasn't until after his resurrection that his disciples remembered that he said this. And they believe the scripture and the word that Jesus had said. You need to know the scriptures in order for Jesus to come alive into your life, to bring the scriptures out when you need them. So examine 2023. Did you forget the Lord? Do you remember the story in Luke's gospel, chapter 2 or 3? They were just got done with Passover at Jerusalem, and Mary and Joseph was heading back, and I think they got 3 days out, and they're like, "Oh, where's Jesus?" And so they forgot him, and they had to go back a couple days, and they were looking for him. So it's like 7 days. It's like a week before they found Jesus. I mean, how can you lose the Son of God? Amen? Amen. But we do, don't we? We take our focus off of the Lord, and things become more important, and idols creep in, and man, go back through 2023. Was your focus truly on the Lord? Or was it on you? Was it on your family? Was it on your kids? Was it on sports, life, vacations, whatever? Jesus needs to be first place. Did creation just look normal? Do you become numb to the beauty that God created? Have you remembered anything that older generations have taught you? The example that they have set before you? Have you forgotten those things? Are you growing enough in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus when situations arise that the scriptures are come to your remembrance? Do you know those things? But there's one thing that I want you to remember first and foremost, and this is the most important thing. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, Moses writes, "So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." And this was for the Jews. This is the Passover. This is where it was first instituted, where God saved them from the firstborn, from the death of the firstborn. They would put the blood on the doorpost. And when the angel of death came and they saw the blood, they would pass over the house and they would move on. And so this is what was called the Passover. And it was a celebration of the Jews by God saving them, delivering them from Egypt. And so this was for thousands of years they did this. And Jesus celebrated the Passover. Matter of fact, he turned it from the Passover into a new covenant celebration for us today in the church age. And we call it the Lord's Supper or communion. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 22, verse 17 through 19, it says this. Jesus took the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." His body was broken. Well, not one bone was broken, but his body was given on the cross. And his blood was shed so that we could have forgiveness of sin, heaven, and eternal life. That's what he went through. And so we need to remember that as salvation. See, when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, it's not just a prayer that you pray. It's not something. It's a commitment that you make. We make commitments to things all the time. Sometimes we break those commitments. Sometimes we don't. But when we talk about salvation, Jesus did all of the work. And what you're doing is making a commitment to what he's done for you.
Amen.
And here's the end result. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, "For the love of Christ compels us." If Jesus has saved you, then his love has been poured out into your heart. And your love for him, his love that's been poured into you, compels us. Because we judge this, if Jesus died for all, then all died, and he died for everybody, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Here's the thing that I want you to remember. If Jesus Christ died for you and you've made a commitment to Jesus Christ, then you need to go live your life for him. Don't forget that. We need to be living our lives for Jesus. If 2023 you have not lived your life for him, the question is why? He gave you everything you need to live a godly life here. Why aren't you living for him? This is God who created the universe. He stepped out of heaven and eternity and came indwelled flesh, was born just like we are, recognized with us, and he came and died for us and shed his blood so that we could have a permanent home in heaven. And if salvation has come to you and you're not living your life for him, the question then becomes why? Secondly, not only do we need to remember those things, but there's some things that we need to forget. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." Well, what are the things that lie behind? Well, the word forgetting is similar to the Hebrew word where we talked about forgetting God. It means to pay no attention to. And in this way, it's to stop dwelling on. And that's what I want us to do. Paul says, don't look back. Stop dwelling on the past. Don't let anything that is behind you interfere with the progress of the future efforts of you growing in the Lord. Holding on to emotions, bitterness, unforgiveness, they can slow us down and lock us into the past. Man, it's like Pastor Matt said, man, you got bitterness or resentment against somebody, you'll never be able to move forward. We need to forget that stuff. We need to let it go. Man, so many times people bring up things that happened 20 and 30 years ago. My goodness, you have got a root of bitterness growing deep inside. Let it go. Get rid of it. It'll destroy your life. There's no future in that. Rehearsing conflicts and rehearsing all these hurtful drama, all it does is open up old wounds, and they don't heal. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the NLT puts it this way. He says, get rid of all that evil behavior. Be done with all the deceit, the hypocrisy, the jealousy, and all kinds of unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you got to crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. God has saved us so that we can have peace, joy, and hope in this life. And that's what we need to strive for. When you start getting back into all these problems and drama and bitterness and resentment, it robs you of your joy and hope that you have. Guilt and despair. Here's one. A lot of people want to have guilt and despair over sin. Listen, if you have sin in your life, confess and move on it. We're turning from it. That's what salvation starts, right? You're to repent. Jesus said time and time again, unless you repent, you'll all perish. Repentance is turning. That's what it means. It has change of mind. So if you have change of mind, see, she wanted to be over here. Now she's over there. It's a change of mind. Okay? Perfect illustration. Thank you. That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. You're going this direction, and I changed my mind. Now I'm going this direction. So your change of mind has a change of action. That's what repentance is. I'm serving sin and self, and I'll do what I want. Until you come to the realization that you are a sinner, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I am separated from God, as Romans 5:8 says, I am an enemy of his. And until you come to the realization, I don't want to be an enemy. I want to be his friend. And that can only be done by Jesus, who reconciles us back to God. So you turn from something. You're turning from sin and self to place your trust in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And now when you do that, now you have a new master. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve sin and self and serve the Lord Jesus all in the same breath. He died and saved you, and he broke those chains of sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. Now you're a slave to righteousness. Go and live your life for him. So we forget about that. But the problem is that we get hung up on sin. Yes, I'm telling you, I am a horrible, miserable sinner. I can't say it in church, but here's the idea. It has nothing to do with me. That's the beauty of it. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he forgave me, he cleansed me of all my sins. Do you know when Jesus was on the cross, he paid every sin that I was going to commit because every one of them were in the future. Amen. And even though I continue to sin, he paid for all of it. That's why out of my love for him, I need to go live my life for him. In 1 John 1:9, one of the greatest verses in all the Bible, it says, if we confess our sin, who is it dependent on? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, sometimes we beat ourselves up when we think that we're such horrible. I know I'm a horrible person, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that indwells me, now I'm somebody. I am a child of God. I have heaven and eternal life. Jesus is my brother, and I am a joint heir with him. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and I'm a prince too, and I get everything that he has. I'm still a miserable creep, but it's all because of what he did for me that makes me a somebody. I need to stop living in the past. We're all sinners. Amen? We all have faults. Amen? Leave that junk in the past. Leave it go. Don't let that sin absolutely destroy your life. You'll never be able to have a future. If God has cleansed you of all unrighteousness, stop feeling guilty. I love this verse. This is the second favorite verse I have. 1 John 3:20. John says, when our heart condemns us, when my heart brings up all the miserable junk things that I've done in my life, God is greater than my heart. And he knows everything. Everything I've ever done was covered under the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Confess it, move on, and go live your life for him. There's some things we need to leave in the past. Leave that stuff in the past. There is no future in it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. The NLT says it this way. You've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality, their lust, their feasting, drunkenness, wild parties, terrible worship of idols. Look, stop doing all those things. You've had enough. You've done them, whatever. Okay, move on. You've done enough. It's time to move on. And I will say, since this is New Year's Eve, drunkenness is always forbidden, Old and New Testament, so there's no need for that. So drink responsibly. Don't glory in sin. Sin is not something to boast about. Confess it, get cleansed, move on. And we need to get rid of all the hindrances that are holding us down. We have so many weights that we strap upon ourselves that are hindrances for growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the NLT says it this way as well. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen? Don't forget Jesus. Don't forget about God. He is the most important thing in our lives, or should be. We've got so many things to remember, so much to forget. And so let's look at some things we need to move forward with. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 13 says this. Not that I've already obtained, that I'm already perfect, but Paul says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. It was important enough for Christ Jesus to come out of heaven in eternity, indwell flesh. That's a miracle within itself. Human flesh can contain the glory of God. Amen. That's the Christmas story. and then God himself raising himself from the dead. That's the second miracle. And it's upon the death, burial, and resurrection that gives us eternal life. Amen? Amen. So because he come out to make me his own, I ought to make him my own. That should be my life. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, stop letting sin hold you back, stop letting hindrances hold you back, get rid of all of those drama and bitterness and resentment and reconcile with people, move on, forgetting all that stuff behind, and he says, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep going forward. Paul's salvation, depending on the truth of this, so the best of my research, Paul got saved about 30 years before he wrote this letter to the Philippians. So in his salvation of 30 years, that man grew in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus. That man was an awesome Christian. He had Jesus' words hidden in his heart, and he could recite this stuff. Matter of fact, there was no New Testament written by the time Paul's given all this. He's given it by memory. Amen? That's awesome stuff. But he knew that he was not perfect. He knew that he had to continue to do more in order for him to look more and more like Jesus. The only way that we're going to be perfect is when God calls us home. Amen? Amen? Or comes to get us in the rapture when I get that perfect body. That's going to be, what a day that'll be. Amen. What a day, glorious day that'll be. We got a lot of growing to do in 2024. The first and foremost, I'll tell you this, I make you one promise. If the Lord keeps me here on this earth any length of time, I will never stop saturating you with the Word of God. Amen? Amen? I will never stop giving you as much of God's Word as I can. I know sometimes it's overwhelming. I know sometimes I get a little above and beyond, but I'm not going to apologize for it. We don't have much time here. And for me, I've been here 6 years, and I think we've gone through three books of the Bible so far in their entirety. That's not much. There's 66. 66. Yeah, I won't be around. We'll never get through them all. I'm just here to add to what you guys are learning at home. And I will never stop exhausting the Word of God to saturate you with it. Amen? So if you want to be saturated with the Word of God and have about 80 Bible verses and go through two and a half hours of message, you come on back every Sunday, and that's what we're going to do. But first of all, we need to be training people so that they can be leading people to the Lord. That's how we grow the church. Is people get saved and they're added to the church. God adds to the church. We just lead them to the Lord and the Lord saves them. Amen? Amen? So here's my question. If you've never led anybody to the Lord, why? Do you know the Bible says you have everything you need to live godly in this life? And if somebody led you to the Lord and you accepted Jesus, then you should understand enough to give that to somebody else. Amen? Amen. Talk to your neighbors. Co-workers, friends, family. I got a lot of unsaved family. Hey, guess what? Jesus died for them too. Amen. And if you've accepted it, they have a chance to accept it too. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. If you have breath, you have life, you have a chance and you have an opportunity. And we need to be exhausting that. Listen, everybody needs to be trained up in some type of gospel presentation. If you do not know the gospel presentation in any way, you come see me, you come see Pastor Matt, you come see somebody. We will train you up in 2024 so that you can present the gospel to someone. It's up to them to receive that, but it's up to you to give it to them. Jesus says in Mark's gospel, you're to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature you come in contact with. The old school way is the Romans Road. Nothing wrong with that. That's beautiful. That's how I got saved, right over here. Right over here under Pastor Standridge. Remember the light coming through on Sunday? There's a wall here and a door, and it was a little different. But I remember right where I was. And this man went down the Romans Road. I was white-knuckling it before the end of the service. Old Pastor Standridge, you knew him. He was a pulpit-thumping hammerer. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to die, go to hell, man. Come on, give me the invitation. And I ran up here. was ripe for the picking. And they went down the Romans Road. I recognize I'm a sinner. Man, Jesus, come save me. And so that's beautiful. That's one of the easiest ways. That's been around for a long time. Romans Road, number one, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Because we're sinners, we deserve to be eternally separated from God in hell. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He shed his blood and died so that we could have eternal life. And when he rose from the dead, that guarantees us eternal life. And when you place your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's a simple Romans road. I've done the faith evangelism. That's a good one too. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. F is for forgiveness. A is for available. It's available for everybody. It's impossible to get to heaven on your own. There's no amount of works. There's no amount of church attendance. It's nothing. T, you need to turn. That's what we talk about, repentance. Turn and turn from sin and self and trust Jesus. And then H, heaven will be your eternal home. Amen. Faith. I think Matt gave the ABCs. Accept, believe, and confess. Accept that you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that Jesus is the only way to heaven and confess that to him. That's a beauty. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Amen. It starts with salvation, folks. It starts with salvation. So if you've been led to the Lord and you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, you've made a commitment to him and you are trying everything that's within you to live your life for him because he died for you. Man, that's awesome. But you need to be presenting that same gospel to everybody you come in contact with. Kids need saved. Teens need saved. Young adults need saved. Older folks need saved. I don't care if you're between the ages of 3 and 300. You need salvation in Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are, where you live, where your background, where you come from. It doesn't matter anything. Everyone needs Jesus. Secondly, when you have the gospel down and you're able to present it to people, the second thing you ought to know is what gift did the Lord Jesus Christ die to give you? In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus died in order to give gifts to men. His entire church has been gifted with spiritual gifts. Do you know your gift, and do you know how to use it in your home, in your church, and in your community? That's another thing. We just had a funeral on Friday, and it's not a funeral, it was a home celebration. It's going home. It was not for the departed. My gosh. We talked about the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has for those that love him. What you can think of heaven to be like, it's not. It's far better than anything we can dream up in this life. And so we come here to give hope because we're the ones left behind. But guess what? We need to go and give that hope to other people. And this is the beauty. I believe Miss Elaine said, it's a shame that people, unsaved folks, and people don't have church families, go through things like a funeral because they're missing out on the family that comes together to be there for people in their time of need. And I just want to say that's what we're supposed to do. That's the church of Jesus Christ. We are his hands and feet to a lost and dying world that don't know any of that. See, when we are doing what we're supposed to do, when we know what gift we have, what gift is ours, and what we're supposed to do with it, man, it shows something to a lost and dying world that they don't know. In 1 Kings chapter 10, the Queen of Sheba, she was coming to Solomon. She heard about Jehovah God. This Jehovah God of the Jews is supposed to be the greatest God in the universe. And she heard all about the wisdom that she had given his king. And so she come to test him. Put this God to the test. And she come and she asked all of her questions. and they were all answered. And the Bible says that nothing was too hard for Solomon. He answered every question that she had. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, when the queen of Sheba, when she saw the wisdom of Solomon, when she saw the house that he had built for the Lord, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, the burnt offerings, all the things that he had offered at the house of the Lord, the Bible says that it took her breath away. Can I tell you something? When the church is doing its job, when you know the gift that you're supposed to have, when you know how to use it, not only in your home, but in the church, and people see that when they come together in events like this, it'll take the world's breath away. There is nothing on earth better than the church that Jesus Christ died to create. And if we're all doing our job, it'll take the world's breath away. And I'm telling you, there were so many folks that were just trying to grieve. And they would say, thank you. We don't know all the work you guys did, but man, it made it so wonderful for us. And said, boy, Pastor, you certainly have many hats you are wearing. Yep, that's what it's all about. You may have more than one gift, and you may have to use that one day more than what you need. But you know what? In times of need, that's what the church is there for. To show this world that there is hope, that there is peace, and that there is joy. I'm so thankful for Mission Point Church, where folks just come up and they're, you know, we ought to be more encouraging to one another. And so this is Recognition Sunday. I just want to say before we go into a new year, because we're going to have new servants. I'm praying that God is going to give us new servants. And so I'm thankful for the ones in 2023 that have stepped up and they have done their job. They have done what God has called them to do. I believe we have 25 ministries in our church. And I'm not going to call people by name because I know I'm going to forget somebody. But we have nursery, and we have Sunday school kids, and we have junior church kids. Matter of fact, we got enough kids that we have to separate them into a younger and an older junior church program. We have Awanas on Wednesday night. We have teen programs. We have helpers that help with those. We have our sound booth people back there. We have our praise and worship team. We have, I don't even know if I'm going to get all the ministries in there. All of our board of deacons and trustees and people that come help on work parties day. I call it a work party because I want people to be interested, even though it's like hard work and they come and they've worked all day and they're just like, yeah, where's the pizza and the fun? And I'm like, oh, sorry, I just try to get you in here. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for everybody that serves. And so after service, we've got a little hot chocolate bar out there. We want to encourage you, if you've served in this church in 2023, you go and get a little refreshment. It's just something real small. Thank you is a small word, but it means so much, and we're so thankful. If you want to serve in 2024, there'll be people out there. Pastor Matt will be out there. You go talk to him and see how you can get plugged into Mission Point. But listen, we talk about how wonderful, how awesome the church is, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and being part of the family of God. It all starts with salvation. So many people have their own opinion of what it takes. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. Amen. So I want to say, just because you attend church, just because you you think you're religious, just because your mom was a praying mom, or your dad was a prayer warrior, or just because you've talked to God in prayer, just because you believe in God, you believe in the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible says even Satan knows that there's a God. He's been before the throne room of God, but it doesn't mean he has heaven and eternal life. Just because you've said a prayer, said some words, somebody might have said, here, you repeat after me. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4? You can believe in vain. You know what vain means? Uselessly. You can believe uselessly. And what does that mean? That means you don't have salvation and heaven is not your home. And so when we talk about salvation, man, I want you to make a commitment to the Lord. He came out of heaven and he made a commitment to die for you. And then when you make a commitment to him, Romans 3:23, you got to recognize you're a sinner. God, I know I'm a sinner. And there is nothing, No prayer, no works, no church attendance, nothing that is going to get you into heaven. Amen. It's only by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You come before him and you confess with your mouth and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me and save me. And the Bible gives you the greatest promise. It says, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with a heart one believes unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you've never made that commitment, I liken this because I see Paige and Reuben here, and they just got married. Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Luna. That's awesome, isn't it? So here's the idea. I liken it unto a wedding, a marriage. You're not married until you make a commitment to one another. Amen? You're not married until you make that. Okay, do you promise from this day forward to love, to cherish, to honor, in sickness and in health, till death do you part? Do you promise? I do. And that's what salvation is. Lord Jesus, there's nothing good in me. But I promise, if you forgive me, I will go and live my life for you. And he has given you his Holy Spirit when you accept him. That Holy Spirit will allow you, if you walk in the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, if you do all the things in the Spirit, he will get it correct. And you will be obedient to God's commands. If there's never been a moment in time where you've made a commitment to Jesus, I invite you to come this morning. I invite you to come and make that commitment. Well, just, men, if you could just have some music playing in the background, and every head bowed, every eye closed, we'll just give a moment. I just want to say this would just be a time of invitation. I don't want you to walk out of here without knowing for sure. The Bible says you can know for sure that heaven is your eternal home. Do you know for sure? You can nail that down today. You can settle that today.